listening to Wake Up Call on the SportsMap Radio Network.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage. Home loans that fit your life. Rocket can.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
As we were saying all morning, we've got three NBA series now heading into Game 5s, all evened up at two games apiece. Let's go to the Progressive Guest Line. Progressive, making it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. Get your quote at progressive.com today. Lee Ellis of The Athletic joins us to help break down these three series. How are you, my friend?
Very good, Tony. How are you?
Good. The Atlanta-Philadelphia series. Let's talk Joel Embiid, 0 for 12 in the second half. What did you notice from him on that injury, that meniscus tear? We've been wondering if it's going to rear its ugly head. It looks like it has. What did you see?
Yeah, he definitely looked a little slower and a little more sluggish in that second half than he has for the rest of the series. But if you look at that first half, he was moving pretty well. So I'm not sure if he did sort of aggravate it a little more during the game and it just sort of bothered him in the second half. Or it simply could have been the fact that he just went sort of cold and had one of those stretches that happens to players from time to time where they just couldn't hit a shot. Because on that last play where the Sixers had a chance to take the lead, it was a very well play, drawn up play there by Doc Rivers, and he got inside, he got to his spot, and he just kind of missed it. You know, that happened. So the fact that he played the entire game, as far as he finished the game, tells me that the knee may have been bothering him a little bit, but that's not the primary reason why I think he struggled. I think it was more just the Hawks knew their season was on the line last night. They fought, they came back incredibly well in that second half, and the Sixers, I think, when they built that 17-point lead, probably got a little complacent. And Embiid and Ben Simmons, their two stars, probably were the two biggest at fault for that, because I think, you know, the Sixers thought, well, after what happened Friday night in Atlanta here, you know what, we're too big, we're too strong, we've got too much firepower, and they kind of took their foot off the gas. And the Hawks, look, the Hawks were going for the, you know, having home run swings basically in that second half, trying to get back into the game, and they connected on a few, got the momentum back, and then just sort of hung on to win. I mean, it wasn't the most convincing or the prettiest victory we've ever seen, but in the playoffs, as you've seen a couple of times, going back to that sort of Nets-Bucks game the other day, that was 86-83, you just have to figure out a way to be ahead when the final siren sounds, and I think that's what it was. So the Hawks, you know, they remain alive, but I think Philadelphia probably know they let this one slip, and I expect Game 5 they're going to come out and really try to put the clamps on the Hawks to get back control of this series, because, of course, if Philadelphia loses, then Atlanta gets a chance to close it out at home on Friday night.
All right, let's get to Brooklyn tonight hosting Milwaukee, and this series has now changed, and a lot of it has to do with injuries. James Harden hasn't been a factor at all. He's been out with the hamstring, and now Kyrie twisting his ankle and suffering that injury in Game 4. This has opened the door for Milwaukee. If you're the Bucks tonight and you still have to deal with Durant, what would you do against Durant in this game tonight?
Well, you've got to attack him, I think, at both ends of the floor. And when Giannis is going downhill and attacking the paint and driving inside, that's when the Bucks are absolutely at their best, because the one weakness that Brooklyn has is interior defense. You know, they've been using Blake Griffin a lot on Giannis, and Blake is no longer the 2010 Blake. He's just simply not athletic or long enough to guard him. So Giannis just has to keep attacking the paint and hoping that maybe Steve Nash says, listen, Kevin Durant's our best defender. Maybe we put Durant on Giannis here to try to slow him down. And if that doesn't work, or if he picks up foul trouble, then that plays into the hands of the Milwaukee Bucks. So, and then on the other end, I would also put Giannis, while he's not in foul trouble, on Kevin Durant and just make life difficult for him, because, you know, they've got shooters. Guys like Joe Harris can hit those three. He hasn't done a great job of it so far in this series. But if Kevin Durant can sort of just run the offense almost like a point guard tonight, like in that point forward role, and get those guys making shots, then that's going to help the Nets. But I think if you're Budenholzer, I just don't even wait. I put Giannis on Kevin Durant right away, because he's just the most longest, the most athletic. He's the fastest defender they've got. And you've got to disrupt that flow so Kevin Durant can't get into any sort of rhythm or any groove out there. Because if he plays that role almost like a LeBron sort of role that he played there for the Cavs, where, you know, he can get his whenever he wants in terms of scoring or shooting the ball, and then when they, if they throw a double, if that's working, then it opens up the floor for those other guys to knock down shots. The Nets could still, you know, win this game. They're still very much the favorite, I think, to win the series, I believe. And they're at home, of course, for tonight, and they will have Game 7 if it goes that far as well at home. So this is a huge game for the Bucks. They have to win, I think, to really give themselves a chance to win this series, because maybe Kyrie Irving plays tonight. I don't think he does. I don't think James Harden plays either. So you may not get a better opportunity to steal one here in Brooklyn, and the Bucks simply have to take advantage of that from the start tonight. So I think Budenholzer has to be super aggressive. He's kind of got lucky in this series with Harden going out 43 seconds into the game and now Kyrie Irving out. But if they can't take advantage of that, then you really wonder, just how good the Bucks can be, because this is, no one enjoys seeing these injuries to start.
Right.
It takes away from the game. It takes away from the series. But if you're Milwaukee, you sort of, no one forgives or no one feels sorry for each other in this league. So you've got to just go out there and try as best you can to put the pressure on Brooklyn early tonight in the paint. Use your stars with like Giannis mainly getting into that paint, trying to get some fouls on perhaps Kevin Durant and trying to put this game away.
You mentioned Joe Harris and Blake Griffin as well. I mean, these guys are role players on a team that is star loaded. But with those guys out, is it Harris that has to be – like, if you're Steve Nash, who are you looking for tonight to really have to step up?
Well, yeah, certainly it starts with Joe Harris, because he's been there, sort of four-star. He's been there the entire season. And we know that he can catch fire when he gets going from three-point range. But he really hasn't been able to do that so far in the series. You've had Bruce Brown in the starting lineup, who's actually been decent for this team. I mean, we know he missed the shot the other night against the Bucks that could have potentially given Brooklyn the lead there. But he's not a great three-point shooter himself. So then you've got guys like Mike James, who they picked up off the waivers from Europe halfway through the season. He's actually been decent for them as well. But he's a veteran. He's not a rookie. He's not like a 20-year-old guy they just grabbed from Europe. He's played. He's been around. So he knows how to play in big games. And then maybe it's a Jeff Green, Landry Shamet. You're sort of going deeper and deeper into the roster here, hoping to sort of strike gold with someone. But as we've seen, again, going back to the Philadelphia and Atlanta series, Shake Milton came off the bench and basically won a game for the Sixers in game two of that series. So in the playoffs, things like that can happen. And that's really what Steve Nash is going to have to hope for tonight, because, I think obviously with Kevin Durant, he can go for 40, 45 points. But if you're the Bucks, is the strategy like, maybe we just let Kevin Durant have all his and hope nobody else gets going? Or is it the other way around, where it's like, if Kevin Durant can find these other guys to, he only needs contributions from two or three other guys to put up, maybe 10 or 15 points, and that probably plays back into Brooklyn's favour. So it's a fascinating sort of chess battle tonight here. And Milwaukee, reputation-wise, has got a good defence. They certainly know how to, get out to shooters and make it life difficult for them. And that's going to be their key tonight is, if someone like Joe Harris, who has struggled, you just don't want to give a guy like that a chance to get going early on. And maybe he has one of those playoff games where he hits those six or seven or eight threes. So, for Nash, he's probably a little bit nervous because, they were up 2-0 and this series looked like it was virtually over too. Yep. After that embarrassing defeat in game two by Brooklyn over Milwaukee. But now, the momentum has sort of shifted and it's like the Nets really need this one tonight or else they could be in trouble heading back to Milwaukee.
All right, let's talk about what's going on in the West with the Clippers and the Jazz. You watch Kawhi Leonard and you watch Paul George and they each get 31 and it's one of those games where you want to maybe make more than what it is. Is that the case or is this a case where, hey, these two teams are really good, they're pretty much equal, some nights you have great nights and the other team doesn't, but we're still going to go back and forth? Or, as I was saying earlier, is this one of those games where we saw a statement from the Clippers and this may be where this series is going?
Yeah, I have to say that I'm starting to feel the Clippers have realized that they can really attack inside and there's two stars, as you mentioned, Paul and Kawhi, really stepping up. And that's what Steve Ballmer invested in a couple of years ago when he got these two guys together. The two legit talents out there who are just really tough to guard one-on-one because, Utah, we know, as a team, defend almost as better than anyone else in the league the last few years because they just have such a great defensive scheme. Rudy Gobert in the middle and then everyone can defend the perimeter and they kind of shovel guys towards Rudy to make life difficult when they get inside. But Kawhi and Paul George are realizing they're bringing back basically the mid-range game as well, where it's like we've just beat our defender off the perimeter, get to the point where Rudy can't come out yet and contest our shot and they can knock those down. And the star power is really taking over because Utah won their first two games, okay in Utah, but in LA, the Clippers have absolutely annihilated them. This game last night was basically over in the first quarter.
Right. Yeah.
Which is a real strong statement. Sometimes the game and I think it was like 29 points, and they get it back to like 16 or whatever at the end. But that, to me, you know, you're basically playing garbage time for the last 12 minutes of this game here, which is not a good sign for the Jazz, because things were going so well. They were playing great basketball, but they really have struggled in LA. And now I think the fact that Kawhi has started to understand how he can dominate this series is going to be a real question mark for Quinn Snyder going forward. Bojan Bogdanovic did a very good job defending him, defending Kawhi in the first two games in Utah. But in LA, Kawhi has kind of shaken loose and said, you know, I'm Kawhi Leonard. No one can really stop me. And he's proving that. So this series is very, very fascinating now. And for the Jazz, they really need Mike Conley back. I think they're missing his steady hand at late in the end of games, you know, because Donovan Mitchell has been great, but they need another guy who can potentially hit that three, run the offense. You know, he defends well. He's a smart guy. He can get inside and score. You know, they just miss his experience. And if he can't come back, then, you know, the Clippers have to feel, you know, a bit like Milwaukee tonight, where it's like, hey, this is a chance to steal home court advantage and get a chance to close it out at home, because that's, I think, the Clippers' best chance. Is if they get Game 6 in LA and it's a closeout game, that's what they need. I think they might struggle in a Game 7, although we just saw them beat the Mavericks, though that was in LA for their Game 7. But the Clippers, considering that first-round series, you know, it was a tough seven-gamer against the Mavericks, and then they haven't had more than a day off in between games since his Jazz series started, and they've just all of a sudden found, like, okay, we've unlocked the sort of secret here to breaking down this Jazz defense, and now it's just a matter of whether or not they can do it on the road.
Lee Ellis, always good having you on, my friend. Thank you so much for breaking it down. This is getting really interesting in round two. Thank you so much, my friend. Appreciate it.
Anytime. Anytime, Tony. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Lee Ellis, again, also a No Dunks podcast on the NBA. So he's always great. We love having him on. And he always comes on when we ask, which is always great. We like talking to him. But he's got a very smooth way of kind of breaking it all down. Like I said earlier, this is getting really good. Like, again, you could have had these two, you could have had two or three of these series being complete control by one team. But you don't. You have three series with one already done. Three series now. It's wide open. Wide open. And nobody, and you don't know. We'll talk more about that coming up next, because I do want to get into the Clippers and the Utah Jazz. Where exactly is that series heading as we continue? It's Wake Up Call.